bookends to the book. But now when I started getting ready for the message, I thought, bookends. Man, I'm really dating myself now. Because most people are in here probably thinking, do we have bookends, right? What are bookends? Let's call them air parentheses. Y'all know what those are? Air quotations. Is that better? You got one on this side, and the message in the middle. Back in our day, books, you had these two things that held the books up on a shelf. They were called bookends. So you're going to get two bookend messages, two air quotation messages, and then the meat of what God's given us. One thing I've never heard preached on ever. I don't know if anybody's ever preached on it, but I'm going to today, and it's kind of exciting. Hey, have I gave you enough time to get to Matthew chapter 8 yet? I hear a page every once in a while turn, and I'm kind of worried because I don't want to leave nobody behind. Y'all there? I'm going to give you a warning. These first two punches are going to hurt some of you. So if you want to get out, you can get out now. Oh, y'all are glutton for punishment. All right. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is from the Mount of Beatitudes. This is the Sermon on the Mount, right? This is the greatest sermon that's ever been preached, written, or expounded on. You can go into the Sermon on the Mount, the first few chapters of Matthew, and put it up, and it will be a mirror to show you whether you're a believer in Jesus Christ or not. I mean, it will either expose you or confirm you. Amen? The Word of God was preached, and we're going to preach here this morning. And as soon as Jesus got through preaching, he came down from the sermon, and people said, I need to do something with what he said. I'm hoping by the end of what I do this morning, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that you do something with what you hear. Because it's not just something you hear and you go out of here and you don't do anything with it. You've got to change. You've got to let the Word change you. So as soon as he got down to the bottom of the mountain there, behold, there came a leper who worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, well, let's stop right there for a minute. It's going to be a little bit longer than I thought. Jesus touched somebody that he should have never, ever touched. Let's have an altar call now. Anybody? See, lepers, if you touched a leper, you were then disqualified to do anything spiritual. Golly, Bum, I wish I could get this. Religious people, if they seen a leper, would avoid them. Sometimes when we see somebody spiritually leprous, that means they're covered in sin. We try to avoid them and don't touch them in case it jumps off on me. Jesus didn't. He touched him. Jesus touched the most unclean thing of their time. Golly, Bum, aren't you glad he still does that? Aren't you still glad he touched him? But here's the knockout punch right here. Here's the punch for you. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. Is that amazing? Yes. Verse 4, and Jesus said to him, See thou, tell no man. What? Let me say it again. You're totally healed of leprosy. See thou, tell no man. I don't know if y'all know what leprosy is. It eats away at your body, your flesh, your eyes. You're totally, if you were sick for a long period of time and all of a sudden now you had a death sentence and nobody could touch you, nobody wanted to be around you, and everybody forsook you, couldn't live in the same house with your family, but all of a sudden now that's all gone. Don't tell nobody. Y'all are so spiritual. I'd just do what Jesus told me to do. I'd be like, oh my God, right? But go thy way and show thyself to the priests and offer the gifts of Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. You know what? God told me to tell you this morning, there's some people sitting in this room, you need to shut up and just walk it out. You need to stop telling everybody you're all right, that you're healed, that you're good. Listen, if you had leprosy, if you've been so sin sick, so sin covered, now that God's touched you, just walk it out. You don't have to say a word. People will recognize. There's some of us in here, man, we tell everybody, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to try. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do. Don't tell nobody nothing. If God's touched you, some of you, just walk it out. Woo! Not everybody, just some of you. Amen? Some of you, man, do whatever God tells you. But some of you, you know what? If you tell another person what you're about to do, they're just going to go crazy. Amen? I'm gonna do better. I'm not going to drink anymore. I ain't going to stop. I'm going to quit lying. I'm going to quit looking. I'm going to no, just do this. Hey, God touched me. Watch this. I remember when I first got saved, Melissa says, what's going on with you? And I was world renowned for making great speeches. I felt like I was Abraham Lincoln. Stand up in the middle of the living room. 40 here, there, 2-4, forevermore. This man is going to be a new man this year. I remember when I first really, truly got saved. I just told her, I said, you're going to have to watch and see something's happened. You're just going to have to wait and see. Something's happened to me, and I can't explain it. That's what happened to this leper. He went back to tell no one. I'm still suspect whether he told no one, though. Let's go to the other book in, 8:14, Matthew 8, verse 14. Did I ever give y'all the verse and chapter? I hope I did. Yes, I did. 8:14. Here's another one. This is one of the one I've never heard anybody preach on. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. His wife's mother. Never heard anybody preach. I've heard people mention it, but I've never heard anybody preach of it. Amen. Verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Peter's wife's mother. Peter's mother-in-law. Y'all good? God healed Peter's mother-in-law. Yeah, some of y'all get it, but it's all right. But watch this. Peter was a fisherman. Peter had a business. Peter and his brother and the sons of thunder had a fishing business. And I guarantee you, just like every parent in here, when your son or daughter begins to date somebody or thinking about marrying someone, you automatically become skeptical of that person. Y'all so spiritual. I don't care if the boy or the girl is amazing, so polite, so good. Oh, he's so sweet. Oh, she's so pretty. Oh, she's so nice. Can I take him out? You suspect, right? Golly, I wish I had. So mamas need to be honest. I will search you out, right? Dad's over there like, oh. Mom's like, nah. Not good enough for my boy. Not good enough for my girl. Now, the guys on the other opposite end for the dude, there ain't no good guys. If you men in here want to write that down, there are no good guys. Meet them all with authority. Amen? All right, I'll move on. But check this out. Peter's mother-in-law probably thought, wow, my little Jewish girl has found a man, and he's got a business, and he's thriving. And then one day he comes home, packs all of his stuff up. I'm following Jesus. I knew there was something wrong with that guy. Right? How is my daughter going to be able to survive? How is she going to make it? You're supposed to be a provider and a protector. And what have you done? Went and followed this Nazarite, this king of the Jews, and what in the world? What's going on with you? you can't leave my daughter. You can't do this until she got sick one day. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. It wasn't supposed to be this long. God told me to hit you real quick, but for some reason I can't get on board with that. Listen to this. Until you get sick. And all of a sudden Peter walks in the door of the house. And he's got that Nazarite with him. And he's got that Jesus. He can't tell you exactly how he's going to provide and protect and take care of you, but he can. God, I wish somebody. He can show up. And he can touch some things that don't have a bottom line. Amen? I don't know how he's going to provide for you business-wise, but he can tell sickness to get out the room. Amen? So all of a sudden, Jesus walks in, and he goes, hey, I'm Jesus. I'm your husband's new master. Do you really want to get up and do some stuff? Oh, I'd love to. Well, sis, go ahead and get up. Amen? Listen, what God told me to tell some of you this morning, not all of you, but some of you, that the world, your wife, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your kids need to see a man or a woman of God for real. Hey, they never seen radical for God you. Hey, listen, step out on faith you. Follow Jesus you. I'm talking about some of you are like, I don't know if I really got to show out for God. She might leave me. She might. And some of you girls in here, well, if I really show out for God, he might leave me. He might. If I really become the man of God in my house, things might change. My kids might not like me. My wife might not like me. My husband, they might not. But what if it's really the thing they've been waiting for? What if it's the thing they really needed the whole time? What if it's the thing they never saw but they've been desiring in a place that they can't even explain? It's a spiritual place. Peter came home with Jesus. I said, I know it sounded radical when I left my job, my boats, my nets, but I met one. I wish you could see him in me and how he's operating in me. Y'all good? Those are just the bookends. Sorry. Verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. So I need to slow down a little bit too. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion beseeching him. This is crazy. But God wants somebody to become crazy for him. No, somebody that don't look the part, don't act the part. Somebody who thinks, when you look at them, you think different. You might think, when I first started studying this message, you might think they're cool, strong, or powerful. Amen? This is a centurion. He's a fully decorated Roman soldier, and he steps out of the crowd and begs Jesus. He bends a knee to Jesus. I mean, here's a man who looks like he wouldn't bend to nobody. But he bends to Jesus. I'm asking you, some of you in this room, you look like you got it all together, all the time. But you need to bend the knee to Jesus. I mean, you need to bow and break yourself before God and say, God, I need you. Because you look cool. You look like, listen, I was reading this. God really doesn't need you to be cool. He really don't need you to be a cool Christian. Because I found out this a long time ago. I've tried to be cool. And God wrecks that. Because he'll make you cry in front of people. He'll make you testify. He'll make you go back and talk to the tough guy in a soft voice about Jesus. He'll make you go talk to the person that you want to beat him up. He'll make you go pray for him. And if he don't do that kind of stuff, I'm sorry, you got the wrong deal. Because the centurion probably wanted to stand there and be strong and tough. I'm over 100 men. Nobody tells me what to do until he really needed somebody. And then guess what? He stepped out and he bowed down and everybody there, every Jewish person looked and went, oh my God, even the Roman soldier bends a knee to Jesus. Who is this guy? Some of y'all need to really, really think about how you're approaching God. Because God will wreck you to make you. Amen? and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Man, this is awesome. One thing about it is the centurion is not begging and bowing and pleading with Jesus for himself or for a child. It's for somebody who works for him. It's a relationship. Golly, I wish you could get this. God is in the relationship business. I wish we would get to the place where we stop thinking about ourselves so much and we think about others so much. We stop thinking about how well we are and start thinking about how are they doing. Would you beseech God for somebody else that's not your family? Would you beg God for somebody that's not kin to you? That's not in your city. Man, this guy was a servant. If you really want to break it down, he was a slave. And the centurion wrecked himself in front of everybody for a slave, for somebody else. And Jesus said, I'll heal him. Jesus said, I will come and I will heal. Golly bum. Wouldn't you like to, if you got on your knees this morning, wouldn't you like to have God answer and say, I'm on my way? Well, some of you need to do the first part first. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'll just be honest with you. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Woo! Are y'all like this guy? The centurion? God, I wish somebody. Are anybody in here like the centurion? I am. Hey, Jesus, will you come to my house and do this? Yeah, I'm on my way. Wait. Can we stop somewhere and I make a call? And maybe, just maybe, my wife can straighten the house up some where I've left it a mess. I covered myself right there then. Amen. And it really ain't about the mess. If you think I'm talking about cleaning the house up, I'm talking about trying to get everything out that I think that God might not be pleased with. You thought I meant dirt. I didn't mean dirt. I meant dirt. Because there ain't nothing like having God in your house. I ain't talking about God in your living room. I'm like God in all the rooms. Amen. Some of y'all are sitting here going, now, man, no, I want God in all my rooms. Can I tell you this? God is in all your rooms all the time anyway. Amen? But I like the way the centurion's thinking. He goes, God's like, I'm coming, let's go. And you get all excited. Some of y'all, have you ever got excited because God was showing up? But then you think, well, I don't know if I really want God in everything. Hello? I don't know if I want him to take over everything. Can I help you? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It all gets better with Jesus. Even the stuff that's hard to give up. God, I know we act like in church we don't have things that we don't want to give up. We do. We do. We got pet things that we don't want to give up. We'll give up our drinking and our lying or our stealing and our fornicating, but we won't give up our murmuring and complaining. We won't give up our gossip disguised in prayer request. I just ruined my altar call, but that's okay. Because nobody ever comes to the altar on a gossip message. But it's funny how gossip does fly. Amen. You can have a million great things happen at the house of God and one bad thing, and that bad thing travels 10 times faster than the good things. Amen? I love what he says. But speak a word only, and my servant shall be healed. Listen to what he did. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say, go. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. You know what he did? He took something that he replied every single day of his life. He was a soldier with authority. He had authority over him and authority below him. And you know what he realized? He said, if somebody has authority, then they can speak it and it happens. If this man is who I think he is speaking on this mount, I believe if he speaks it, he has the authority to send and retract everything. He said, just speak it, Lord. You know what I like about this? He's a man or a person that nobody's counting on. That's what we're always going after in the house of God. Somebody that nobody's seen coming. Amen? I mean, somebody, you'd think, well, one of the 12 apostles, surely. Maybe some Jewish guy that was really, really waiting for God. Nope, it's a centurion. What in the world? Why would God need a centurion? Maybe, just maybe, he wants to save the whole world. Amen? But I love this guy's reasoning. He looked at it as a military deal. He's been in the military his whole life. He looked at it and said, wait a minute, this man's got authority. He said, my servant's sick over there. You speak like you have authority over the whole universe. Can you just say it and it'll happen? Man, what faith. Man, he's got 12 apostles been following him around for years that can't even understand this concept. And you got a man who just seen it and said, you know what? I see it. You're the general. Golly pump. You're the joint chief of state. Amen. You're the ones who make decisions. Call it and it shall be. Golly bum. I love it. I love what he says. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. What? What? Listen, guys, I know I'm throwing down the gauntlet of challenge here. Wouldn't it be cool if every once in a while you made God marvel? No, I can't do it. Well, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking. Wouldn't it be cool for God to go, wow, I didn't expect that. I didn't see that. That's what it says. He marveled. The Bible's not a liar. He marveled at him. It kind of surprised him. Man, it surprised you when your kids do what they're supposed to do. Oh, man, this guy's not even a kid. He shows up and he goes, man, he marveled. He looked at him and go, man, got it. Man, I hope maybe one time in my life that I can make God go, that's pretty good, Kevin. Amen? Wouldn't it be good to, you know, at the end it says, enter in my good and faithful servant. I know he's talking about Christ, but wouldn't it be that one time? The guy only gets one mention in the Bible, but ain't one mention in the Bible worth it? Amen? He marveled and said unto them that followed him. Oh, it's even better. Charlie, watch this. He don't tell him directly. To them that followed. Hey, man, this guy's doing something. He turns and he goes, class is in session. Right? Watch this. Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. He's only said that two times in the whole New Testament, and both of those people were Gentiles. Man, ain't that amazing that two people who were on the outside of what Jesus was doing was saying, God, Kenneth, get this. I see you. Golly. I see you. God. They might not see you. You came here for Israel. You came here for your people, but I see you. You're the Savior of the world. You can't help yourself. God, I wish I'd get some people in here say, you can't help. See, the centurion said he can't help himself. He's a general, and he's got authority. If I come to him, he's got to make a decision. Sir, I have this going on. Can you help me? I will come. All right, great. Great. I've entered in, right? I've entered in. And all of a sudden, now he's looking at him, and he's looking back at him, and he's sitting there thinking, this is my opportunity. And then Jesus looks at him and goes, man, I have not seen so great a faith, no, not even in Israel. Listen, we get to come here on Wednesdays and Sundays. We get two services on Sunday, one on Wednesday. We get to worship. There's some people would do more with one verse than we do with all that information. Some of y'all need to get like a pit bull and a pork chop. Some of y'all need to get dog tough on some stuff. Some of y'all need to get a hold of a word and challenge. It challenges you and go after God like you've never went after him before. This centurion said, I've got a friend of mine who's a servant of mine who's sick, and I want to see him whole. I believe this guy can do it, and if I believe he can do it, he can do it. I'm gonna test who he is. Some of y'all need in 2020 need to test who God is. Some of y'all need to bring some stuff to God that you thought, well, he can't ever, he won't ever, he wouldn't do it for me. You keep thinking like that, you'll have the same 2020 as you had the last whole decade. Some of y'all need to come to God and say, God, I need you to fix some stuff in my life. I need you to heal some stuff in my life. And I believe you can. Some of y'all need to go after God like you've never went after God before in your life. Some of you need to make God not number one on your list, but you need to make him the whole list that you write everything on. And it don't even get on the list unless God says so. And you know what? People will leave. People will reject you. People will hate you. But the right people will love you. The right people will accept you. And believe me this, God will open doors that no man can open, and he will close doors that no man, listen, he'll close doors that no man can open, but he'll open doors that no man can close for you. What you thinking right now, if I lose that, then I'm going to be no good. When you lose that, God will bring something better into your life that you've never even imagined before. Every time God shut a door on me, praise God, I've had God shut some doors on me, and I have stood in the hallway. Golly, a whole message of it's scary in the hallway. I'm like, God shuts a door, and I sit there, and I've jingled at the door. Come on, God, come on, come on, come on, open it back up, open it back up. God, y'all can't be real with me. I want back in that relationship. Let me back in. And God has locked that baby. And what do you do after you jiggle and try to fight and kind of kick the door in and can't get it open? You look around the hallway. Will you open up a window? How about a fire escape? You can run up down that hallway and scream and pitch a fit and throw a tantrum. I remember me and my wife went on vacation one time, and about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I hear crying. I mean, crying like we were up in Gatlinburg. We were at the hotel, the Music Road, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, I just keep hearing a baby cry, baby cry. I'm like, golly, what's going on? So I finally look at her, and there's a little girl sitting in the hallway all by herself, about 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old, can't just bawling. I'm the first one out there. I'm like, baby, parents, room, something. Ah! Just screaming, top of her lungs. This is not good. Then somebody in the next room opens the door. They look out. I'm like, is this your baby? Not our baby. I'm like, you're the next room over. Sitting right in front of your door. That's your baby. No, it's not my baby. Next door opens. That's not my baby. Next door opens. Not my baby. We're all standing there going, what are we going to do? So I said, somebody needs to call the front desk. But all of a sudden, we look down. There's one doorway that's not open. One door that's not open. Maybe. Knock, 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 knock. About 5 minutes later, man opens the door. What? That's your baby? How'd she get out there? Then you go from, what do you do now? She goes, she must have been able to open the door and we didn't realize it. I said, yeah, she's been out here for an hour. You just try to, but listen, I want you to hear this. That's where we can be sometimes. We're sitting outside the hallway crying and pitching a fit. And the door, we got to wait for God to open that next door. And when he opens that next door, guess what happens then? You walk in there, and everything God has for you in that room helps you forget or move on from the last door and the last room. And you'll thank God for him letting you go into that last room. And you'll also thank God for letting him shut the door on that last room. Golly. Is there anything in your past that you really loved, but it's gone now? And you think, thank God for the time in that room, but thank God for who I am now too. Amen? Man, this is amazing. The centurion looked right at God and said, I believe you can do this, and you have the authority to speak it. And Jesus looked at him and said, I've never seen such great faith. No, not even in Israel. And he wrote it down in the book. The Bible recorded it. I want the Bible to record in 2020. There were some people on a mountain in East Tennessee who went after me so hard that I had to record it. Amen? They got radical over me. For the first time in their lives, they got radical after me. That means they put me at the top of their lives, and I changed everything. Let's all stand as they come get a song. If you don't,